And Keith and Sue Wanzer both serve on the MCCSC school board and join us every Thursday morning to talk about local education issues. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm feeling dreary.
You're allowed
to. You know
to.
What? You said it's going to be 50. I feel like it's going to snow at any moment
it's
now.
Not.
It's cold. Anyway.
It's not. That's,
yeah,
that's
I believe
the thing. You. Don't look outside and think snow. Think rain. It's more
I
April.
I believe you, and that's okay.
It's more
Rain's good.
More April than it is February, and we'll thank the groundhog for that. He deserves some credit for doing a good job here. He said six
yeah.
more weeks of winter, and if every day of winter is going to, or every week of winter is going to involve temperatures in the 70s and the 50s and 60s, I'm fine with his winter. That's fine with me.
Good way of looking at it. I love your positive outlook.
The sunshine will come Monday, and actually Sunday as well, so that's always fun. It sounds like you guys have a...
Like a work session.
A work session-ish type meeting on Monday. Sue, tell me what's going on there.
On Monday... we have a meeting at 6 o'clock in the co-lab with our superintendent, our assistant superintendent, I believe our student services director. We're going to talk about curriculum adoption and how the school corporation picks different curricular materials. And we don't call it textbook adoption anymore because we use workbooks, worksheets, digital electronic sources. So we're going to talk about how that happens, what the process is, and what goes into it because of a social studies weekly piece of material that was used in fifth grade classes on slavery that was horribly insensitive. And it was taken out of the classrooms and then something else appeared. So my understanding is that the superintendent contacted the vendor, and I'm kind of chuckling because the vendor said this was the first complaint they had, and I think Dr. DeMuth was pretty surprised about that. So anyway, that contract's been canceled. But as a result of this, obviously a lot of people were hurt and felt harmed by this, and so we want to talk about the ways in which curricular materials adopted and the fact that our teachers spend so much time teaching, they don't have time necessarily to develop their own material.
Well, that was going to be my question. Who determines what is the curriculum? How do we choose which history book or math book or science book we're going to use? Who has that say in putting this all together?
Right. We have there's a committee. Every 6 years, we do a different subject adoption. So the social studies adoption was done 2 years ago. And it's a group of teachers and administrators. You know, I got to claim ignorance on this one, Glass. There used to be parents involved. I think there still are, but I don't know that for sure. So we're going to learn about that on Monday. And then it used to come to the board. I'm not sure it comes to the board. It does come to the board for adoption. And it also determines what we used to call textbook rental fee was, and now it's material usage fee. Because it could be, like I said, it could be electronic or digital. And because textbooks aren't necessarily always the greatest thing for kids in elementary school, we do have some of these smaller, like, worksheets and workbooks and brochures. And this one was just, to me, it looked like, when I read it, like it was something out of the 1960s. The art on it even looked like an old Highlights magazine or something. So we're going to talk about how we do that and how we can do that better. And is there a better way? And of course, you know, glasses, we talk about this all the time. It has to align with state standards. It has to align with standards.
Yeah, you can't just make your own rules on that. Right.
Right.
But that's, I knew there had to be some guidance somewhere, but you can pick and choose to a degree. It just has to be within the parameters of the choices and picking and choosing. Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer join us here on a Thursday morning, Monday night special work session, 6 o'clock. That's the only thing on the agenda for that?
For that meeting,
exactly.
Yes.
This was just something that the superintendent and her administration believed needed to be done because of some of the hurt and harm that this had caused. And certainly we never wanted that material to be in the classrooms. And a lot of teachers didn't use it. Some did. But a lot of teachers didn't. So we're going to talk about how we do that and maybe how we go forward and do those things even better.
I would point out, too, that the superintendent, Judy DeMuth, sent a letter of apology for that because of how it happened. And this is further discussion for the community on why it happened.
There you go. So you get some answers to the issues at hand, and you can do so Monday night at 6 p.m. So if that's going on Monday night, what's happening Tuesday night?
regular school board meeting Tuesday night, Sue.
Yes, there is, but I want to try to make this clear, and you're going to follow up, I'm sure, with Mick Renneisen when you talk with him at 8:30. But because of the controversy over the truck that's being purchased by the police department, Black Lives Matter, who are the ones who protested the State of the City address and who came to a city council meeting on Tuesday, which isn't their regular night, to talk about it, they also wanted to be able to talk to the school board about our racially insensitive materials, which is a great, you know, we invite that, which is why we're having a meeting on Monday. On Tuesday, there's also another meeting, a follow-up meeting with the Bloomington Police Department, and I think some people are upset because the school board meeting and the police department meeting, from my understanding, from talking to the mayor last night, was that the Bloomington Police Department meeting is still happening. The Board of Public Safety meeting is not.
Right.
And I think the mayor and the superintendent, from what John Hamilton told me last night, are saying if you have concerns about the curricular material, certainly go on Monday and ask questions. Will there be a where we'll have a conversation? If they come on Tuesday, they're certainly welcome to come and make public comment, which happens near the front of the meeting, and the meeting starts at 6, but they'll never get any answers. There won't be a discussion. They'll just be able to make a comment. So that's a long way of saying, as far as I know, our school board meeting, I know our school board meeting is happening at 6, as well as the Bloomington Police Department follow-up meeting. But Mick can confirm that for you better than I can.
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk to him about coming up after 8:30. But people that what we're trying to do, you know, at least on this program, is trying to give people information, and they can do with the information what they'd want. And I know everybody doesn't listen to this program. I'm not insane.
They don't?
Well, I know it's hard to believe. I'm not insane enough. But when people show up at meetings and wonder why the council or school board's not talking back or answering their questions, well, they have to know how this procedurally works, and that's why we keep talking about this. So. People know when to go and know when the right time those discussions can take place, and that's what we're trying to pass that message along here. The school board meeting, though, is Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
Correct.
We'll get all the different times. The city sent out a press release yesterday about what times everything else are. We will cover those times with Mick coming up here in about 15 minutes.
By the way, in case people don't know, they can go online, the MCCSC.edu, and they can see the agenda for the school board meetings.
Which will be posted, later on this afternoon. It comes out on Thursday afternoons. But, Glass, I just did want to make it clear that no one is trying to cover anything up, or we're not trying to plan conflicting meetings so that people can't participate in two different things. We think we have it all covered with a lot of different ways for people to participate in a lot of different things.
I don't argue. And you can lead people to water, but you can't make them drink. We're making sure that we give them the map to the water. And
exactly.
If you have issues, there are ways of handling it and doing it. We're trying to give people the best roadmap and how to handle that, because yes, the discussion is just as important as the solution, and you've got it, and you're right, Sue, no one's hiding from anything, at least in my opinion. If that's different, please bring it to my attention. I don't want to make it sound like that I'm ignorant to this as well. Now, moving on, we have a big program last night, Keith.
We had the Franklin Initiative, and they recognized outstanding teachers in both the RBB and the MCCSC. And I just want to mention the names, Mike, because these are great people, and they deserve all the credit they can get. Martha Chamberlain, a Title I reading specialist at Fairview Elementary, and they introduce these people, and they show a video of them talking about their attitudes and how they got into teaching and what they try to accomplish and how they treat the kids. And it gets a little emotional for me as a listener to what was going on. But Martha Chamberlain at Fairview, Laura Chappelle at a Title I inclusion specialist at Childs Elementary, Lori Chestnut, a fourth grade teacher at Steinsville Elementary. And I got to tell you, the Steinsville Quarry Choir came and sang, and they sang a song for her about how special she was.
Very
it's
nice.
Like, oh, my God. You talk about tearful.
Dusty, a little dusty in there, Keith?
Oh, man. Kelly Faust, who is a Title I teacher at Edgewood Primary. Sheila McDermott-Sipe, a language arts teacher at Bloomington High School South. Katie Sparks, third grade teacher at Grandview Elementary, and Doug Ewells, a mathematics teacher at Edgewood High School. And then the Leading Light Award went to Grandview Elementary for their STEM program. And the lady that put on amazing comments, Donna M. Atkinson, the principal at Edgewood Junior High School, got the Lifetime Achievement Award. And boy, what a, her comments were just outstanding. It was a great program, Sue,
and a great partnership with the Franklin Initiative to do that, and all the sponsors.
The Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, it is the support we get from the Chamber of Commerce generally, and then specifically from their Franklin Initiative, is wonderful. And Keith's right. The videos that they do. You know, this has been happening for a long time, but it has become so refined and so much more sophisticated. And the fact that every single teacher has a video produced about them, or every single educator, whoever they are, is really, really cool, because it's not just somebody getting up and making some remarks. It's actually getting to see them in action, and I think that's very important.
Well, and the other part about it is Phil D'Amico, the new president of the chamber, said that the chamber was absolutely committed to education. There are going to be more and more situations, programs where they're going to show how important they believe education is. Obviously, the chamber deals with the workforce, and that's what they're talking about, is we need educated people for the jobs in our community.
You know, you're right, Keith, and they were such a great partner and so supportive with the referendum. They have done so many things, and the Franklin Initiative, especially with, you know, I don't know that people know that that's where our graduation coaches come from. That's where the funding comes from, to work in our high schools, our reality schools that you like to talk about all the time.
The reality store, it's amazing.
Yeah, the stores, yeah. And they're a great partner, and I'm glad to hear that from our new chamber president.
And Phil D'Amico will be on this program sooner than later. We're trying to work out a time and a date. Obviously, just new to town, he's pretty busy in everything he's doing. But the Minister of Culture, Jim Inman, who works over there at the Chamber, is trying to
have some influence on that.
Well, he is. We're trying to get this all worked out. So
Jim was there last night, kind of corralling and coordinating everything.
Surprise!
Hey, Sue, there's one last thing we need to mention, because given all of the events that are going on right now with the school shooting, we've got an event coming up on safety and security in the schools.
Right. It's on March. There's two sessions, March 5th and March 6th. And they begin at 6. I believe March 5th is at North, and March 6th is at South. I hope I've got that right. But we have some time to get some information out. But because of the reaction to the shooting in Florida, of course, our parents are more worried than ever. Our superintendent, again, her number one priority is safety and security, so she wanted to bring a program to the public, to the community, to talk about with our safety resource officer, other law enforcement officials, to talk about what we do to guarantee safety the best we can for our kids. And again, that'll be a time when people can ask questions, but we'll have some more information coming up soon. But it's March 5th and 6th. It's a Monday and a Tuesday.
March 5th is at Bloomington South High School, 6 to 7:30 at the LGI Room. And you can find, obviously, where North's going to be the following day, mccse.edu. Just go to the upcoming events on the main page. It's right there in front of you, and you can also see that spring break will start on March 12th as well. And you can read all about the Franklin Initiative Awards, the City of Bloomington's Black History Month essay contest winners were announced. And the other thing that we saw is, after the terrible situation in Florida, the MCCSE also posting how to talk to your children about violence, tips for parents and teachers from the National Association of School Psychologists. So if you're having some issues with that in your house, pretty good resource to go to the website and find everything there. And don't forget to register for kindergarten. That's going on as well. So
And Glass, I want to thank you for always reminding all of us about all the information and resources we can find on the website.
You have to use it if you're going to be in there. It is complete, and we have you and Keith, thankfully, to fill in the gaps or to expand and expound on how the stuff works. So if all the detail is not in there, it's a pretty good partnership how we can all get together.
I agree.
All right, Sue, good job. Monday night, 6
Thank
o'clock
you.
At the, where yes, is sir. That going to be?
At the CoLab.
At the CoLab.
And obviously and I'll remind people of that on Monday morning as well. And then Tuesday, okay. The fourth Tuesday of the month of February, will be the monthly school board
regular meeting.
And that will be at the administration center
right.
at 6 p.m.
Yes.
on Tuesday night.
Yes.
So I will make sure I keep mccse.edu up and
Thank
running
you.
To get everybody informed on that. Grab your umbrella, stay dry, enjoy the warm temperatures, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Glass. Bye-bye, Keith.
Bye, Sue.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE School Board and check in with us every Thursday morning just after 8 o'clock to talk local education issues.